Freedom of speech, motherfucker.
Okay. Something
for the kids. Step in the club smoothly, with the L in my hand. Bitches know that I'm a freak, like the Elephant Man. Intelligent plans, fuck a record deal. I want development land with my benevolent clan. And that's the reason that I only trust my fam. 40,000 records sold, 400 grand. Fuck a middleman, I won't pay anyone else. I'll bootleg it and sell it to the streets myself. I'd rather be that than signed and stuck on a shelf. And because of this, executives try to diss me. Racism frozen in time like Walt Disney. And now they say they want to get me signed to the majors. If I switch up my politics and change my behavior, trying to tell me what to rhyme about over the beat. Bitch niggas that never spent a day in the street. But I repeat that, nobody can hold my reins. I put the truth on track, nigga, simple and plain. I guess to America, I'm a disaster. A slave that was destined to own his masters. Independent in every single sense of the word. I say what I want, you fucking little sensitive herd. This is America, thought we had freedom of speech. But now you wanna try to control the way that I speak. And O'Reilly, you think you a patriot? You ain't nothing but a motherfucking racist bitch. Full of hatred, pressing a button, trying to eject me. But I don't got no motherfucking deal with Pepsi. No corporate sponsor telling me what to do. Asking me to tone it down during the interview. Trying to minimize the issue, but I'm keeping it large. I love the place I live, but I hate the people in charge. Speaking is hard when you got strings attached. So I'ma say it for you, cause I don't got none of that. And if you didn't understand what I spit at your brain, hey yo son, let this little nigga explain. Come on, son, y'all niggas know the way that I do. ImmortalTechnique.com lies for you. And I know sometimes it be making you nervous. The way I smash puppet rappers that belong in a circus. You motherfuckers just can't compare. Looking for a fan base that's no longer there. I know that you're scared and you're hiding up in the cut. But this is freedom of speech, nigga, tell them what's up. Word, nigga, fuck John Ashcroft. Nigga, fuck Fox News. Fuck those snake ass bitches trying to manipulate your opinion, telling you what to think. Word the fuck up, nigga. Like we invading niggas, cause we wanna free them. You racist motherfucker, you don't give a shit about those people. You can suck my dick. Relax, Tech, relax. Another rum and coke in the bar, nigga. It's my day off. Word up. Fuck. For the kids. For the kids.
Hello, everybody. This is Lady Taz. And yeah, that's the subject today, freedom of speech. And we're going to take it from a couple of different angles. And we're going to give certain specific examples. I don't know. Is it absurd, this whole issue of freedom of speech? Has it gone too far when you think of inciting hate? I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what everybody thinks. Let's see what our panelists think. I'm going to start by saying hello. Right now, we've got Chris on the line. Hello, Chris.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
And we've got Lisa. Lisa, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Now, Renee and Sean are MIA. They're missing in action. I don't know. What can you make of that? I mean, you know, they're both in the D right now, so I don't know. Actually, I'm joking. Sean is working, so he could, for all we know, be fighting a fire right now. And Renee is supposedly somewhere on some ski slopes in Michigan. Hopefully she's having a good time. So we're not expecting her to join us. However, I am still hopeful that Sean will be joining us. In any event, let's get started with the topic today. Now, the first thing that I wanted to bring forward is, I don't know if you guys heard about a greeting card site. There's been some controversy over it. And basically, it's a greeting card site for every occasion, birthdays, Valentine's Day, Christmas, breakups, and then some. And the site is called YouStupidBitch.com. And you can go on this site, and for $2.50, you can get an interesting kind of card. Now, here's where the controversy comes in. These cards are not your regular run-of-the-mill kind of cards. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of some of the cards that you can get on this site. For example, I hope you don't have to fuck as many people to find happiness this year. Happy Valentine's Day. I have hundreds of friends on Facebook, but you're my best bet for some action. Happy Valentine's Day. Hey, guess what? I'm fucking your wife. There's also the flip to that. I'm fucking your husband. Now, here's the ones that have really raised the controversy. Congratulations, you've got breast cancer. Congratulations, your kid has Down syndrome. Yes, and there's one that really sparked a lot of controversy. And it says, I'm just trying to find it. Ah, yes. Congratulations. You got bad touched. Now, apparently, what that one means is like if you're a rape victim. Okay, let's see, a couple more, just so that you got a full flavor for this site. When I said, until death do us part, I didn't expect it to take this long for you to die. Let's see. Well, here's an interesting one. Valentine's Day just wouldn't be the same without my dick in your mouth or in your ass. You have a choice of cards. Here's the I'm sorry card. I'm sorry I fucked your sister. Let's see. I hope you think of me when your boyfriend fucks you. Happy Valentine's Day. You think I love you? Pull your head out of your ass. Happy Valentine's Day. All right, there you go. You got a pretty good flavor of the kinds of cards that are on this site. So, I'm going to start with you guys to tell me what's your initial reaction to the kinds of cards that are being offered. I'll start with you, Lisa. What do you think? Anything there you'd like to send to somebody?
No, I mean, that's nothing that I would personally go to. But it's unfortunate, but I would have to say in the type of climate now that and the direction that we are going in with all of the some of the mind mush that we see on television and some of our young people are emulating. I mean, it's sad, but it's not surprising to me. And naturally, this company knows what they're doing. It's controversy. Controversy sells. So, you know, people will go to this website. Some people may not necessarily purchase the product, but they want people to go to the site. These people know what they're doing. It's nothing that I would personally buy. I mean, some of the stuff is tongue-in-cheek. Other stuff is just absolutely in poor taste. But I'm not condoning it, certainly. But it's unfortunate. But, you know,
okay.
This is where we're at. You know, some people, they like this type of stuff. And probably people probably go in there and, you know, they're purchasing stuff and sending it to some of the folks that they run with. But, you know, it's not necessarily something I would go to. I'm like, you know, I'm still... Hallmark is still good for me, so.
Okay. Chris, what do you think?
I think it's kind of juvenile to me, but, you know, like I said, I try not to be judgmental. I mean, because, like I say, living in a society where you actually have people that's going to like that, you know? So.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you guys, for any reason, decide or think that a site like this should be pulled? Because people are campaigning to the company that hosts this website that they need to shut it down. What do you think about that, Chris?
Hard for me to say. I really don't really get into it. So, I mean, it's like this. If the site stay up, it's really up to, you know, people and their own, you know, maturity level as whether they buy the card or get the card. I mean, if you're dealing with somebody that would actually buy a card from them, you might want to check what type of friends you have, you know. So, I mean, but as far as, okay, do you have the right to have that site? Who am I to say? I mean, that would make me better than them politicians and bureaucratic people who try to control everything that everybody do. You know, just because I don't like it, you know, simply because I don't like it, don't mean somebody don't have a right to do it, you know.
Well, and that's the issue, Chris. I mean, I'm trying to get your opinion with respect to the issue of freedom of speech. Of course, as we go through the examples, they're going to get more, you know, very different. This is just sort of a starting point. But if you were in charge of hosting this site, would you give in to the pressure to shut them down, or would you take the position that, you know, as much as I don't agree with them and some of the stuff is kind of absurd, they have the right to say it, and if you don't want to buy the cards, then just don't go to the site?
Yeah, I'll probably, if I was hosting the site, then I'll probably let them keep it for the simple fact. Like I say, just because I don't agree with it, you know what I'm saying, and it's not my thing, you know, I'm not going to sit there and cave in simply because people don't like something. You know, I mean, that's just like, you know, you got 20 people read a book, hell, 10 of them might not like it. Does that mean you don't sell the book? You know?
Right. Okay, Lisa, what do you think?
I would certainly, as the site host, is that what you referred to it as?
Yeah, if you were hosting, like if you had a hosting site where you would host various web pages and this and that, would you shut them down or what would you do?
I would talk to them about, number one, adding a 18 and over disclosure before you enter the site, and certainly sit down and say, look, you know, some of the other stuff is you got on here is not my taste, but the other stuff pertaining to rape, things pertaining to breast cancer, come on. You know, that's just in poor, that to me is in poor taste. It's in poor class. You know, you can certainly meet some type of middle ground with that. I mean, you know, come on. Let's get real here. That rape is nothing to make light and a joke of. And certainly anybody coming down, man or woman coming down with any type of cancer, that's nothing funny about. You're talking about people are dying. You know, people being brutalized. There's nothing funny about that. So that definitely has a big issue with.
The guy who makes up these cards, he said with respect to the one, and this is the only one that I heard a response on, the one that says, congratulations, you've got breast cancer. He said that you could write in the card, because the inside of the card is blank, so you can write what you want, that you could write something like, you know, so the outside says, congratulations, you've got breast cancer, and inside you could write, and I know that you're going to overcome it because you're such a strong and powerful woman, or something like that. And so he was trying to say that it's a matter of perception as to how you read that statement.
Has he done this himself personally? I know women that are fighting breast cancer. Some have lost the battle. Has he done this personally himself?
What do you mean? Sent a card
to
someone
that's actually battling breast cancer? Has he done this himself?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I don't know. That's the only part that I know.
My question is, has he fought breast cancer?
Exactly. Because men can come down with it as well.
Has he fought breast cancer?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I
mean, and again, you know, I mean, I agree with you. They're definitely in poor taste. And I'm not sure, you know, like even if you accept that you could switch that one around to be something positive, I'm not sure how you switch congratulations, you got bad touched.
I think,
the one that pertains to rape. How do you switch that?
How can you? It's horrific. Children are being brutalized. Men are being brutalized. Women are being brutalized. How in the hell can you make light of that? Men are dying of breast cancer. Women are dying of breast cancer. How in the hell can you tell somebody congratulations over some shit like that and turn around and make it happy? It's absurd.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, that was one of his sort of comebacks with respect to that. So, I mean, you know, so I would have to say that I agree with you guys. This stuff is in bad taste, poor taste, whatever. But would I pull it? No. I'd probably talk to them. I'd probably ask them to pull some of the more offensive ones. Like you said, Lisa, some of these are tongue-in-cheek. Some of them are kind of funny and not. I don't know. I think freedom of speech, yeah, covers this person to make these cards. But, hey, let's take it one step further. What if the cards said something like, for, you know, July 1st or something about, you know, hey, you know, make sure you, you know, say for black people, it would be make sure you make all white people pay for their past sins today. Or, you know, on the flip, some sort of card that uses the N-word for white people to send to black people. Does that suddenly change it because now all of a sudden you're starting to get into the whole racial issue? What do you think, Lisa?
You know what, Lady Taz, you're talking, I'm a black woman here living in America, which you're describing is our legacy here in the United States, unfortunately. I mean, our people, I mean, even now, the images, the ideas, the stereotypes, it's broadcasted not only here in the United States, but worldwide. I mean, you know, if you're black in America, unfortunately, some of this stuff, you know, you have experienced. At the age of 6, that's the first time I had ever been called a nigger. And I was in kindergarten. So, you know, this
wow.
There's websites. I mean, I don't go to them. There's people talking crazy here on BTR, other places. I mean, you know, it goes on. I don't listen to it. I'm aware of it. There was a show this weekend on television talking about some white supremacist groups. This has been our history. So we know that there are people on the face of this earth that would prefer to see us not here. We know that.
So,
I mean, you know, it's our. I'm not condoning it. I'm not happy about it. But, you know, it has happened and continues to happen. Unfortunately, not only against black people, but other people, other races of color.
And
women,
other religious groups,
so,
and
you know,
everything,
and other,
right?
Exactly. And I do not condone it. But it goes on.
Chris, what
look
do you have
images,
to say? Does it
you know?
Change anything if it has racial undertones? And my question is, you know, do we have to start putting the brakes on some of this stuff, like the white supremacists, and not give them outlets, at least, to spew their hate? Go ahead, Chris.
Well, they're gonna find a way to do it regardless, but see, it's hard for me to say because I wouldn't want nobody to tell me that I couldn't say what I want to say, knowing that I got a lot to say. And even though, you know, okay, if I'm having a conversation, or even if I, like, say, on a show, and I have an opinion about something, you know, it might just be my opinion, but for people to sit there and tell me that I can't voice it would be very disturbing also, you know. And just because, you know, it's not a liked or agreed upon, you know, subject matter. So the concept of just me being able to tell people, you know, or say, no, I don't like this, so they shouldn't be able to do that, I have really a hard time with it. So, I mean, I don't really believe in freedom of speech too much anyway, because jail for things that they say too, you know. But you know, so it's a tough one of those tough subjects for me, because like I say, I like to be able to say what I want to say, when I want to say it, how I want to say it.
But okay, and we'll get to this a little bit later in the show, but I want you to keep in the back of your mind for later on in the show that, you know, I wonder whether or not the fact that certain forms of speech incite hatred and incite violence. And is there a line that shouldn't be crossed? And should there be some rules to govern the crossing of those lines? And I'll just ask you to keep that in mind as I move on to the next story, which is pretty interesting. Now, this goes back to November of last year. And there was a book that was published and posted on Amazon.com, and in fact became so popular that it became one of the top 100 bestsellers of Amazon. And the name of that book was The Pedophile's Guide to Love and Pleasure. It went from being in 158,221 spot to 96 on Amazon's top 100. And when people start to find out about this, they started to rally against Amazon and, you know, started boycotting Amazon and all sorts of things and said, you know, you've got to take this down and so forth and so on. And initially, Amazon.com responded by saying the following: "Let me assure you that Amazon.com does not support or promote hatred or criminal acts. We do support the right of every individual to make their own purchasing decisions. Amazon.com believes it is censorship not to sell certain titles because we believe their message is objectionable." Now, a couple of days later, the book was no longer on Amazon.com. It still showed up on the list, but the link was broken. You couldn't purchase it, and there was nothing showing, you know, how much it was. To this day, nobody seems to know whether it was Amazon.com that pulled it or whether it was the actual author that pulled it. But in any event, it did get pulled. And to give you a little bit of sort of insight into what this book was about and what some of the comments of the author were, here are the comments. In the description for the self-published ebook, the author said that the book is my attempt to make pedophile situations safer for those juveniles to find themselves involved in them by establishing certain rules for the adults to follow. I hope to achieve this by appealing to the better nature of pedosexuals with the hope that their doing so will result in less hatred against them and lighter sentences if they get caught. He said that certain parts of the book are advisory and set out guidelines for pedophiles to follow. Now, when the president of the American Booksellers Foundation for Free Expression, Christopher Finnan, was asked about this, he said that Amazon has the right to sell the pedophile guidebook because it does not feature child pornography. So, what do you think? What do you think? I'll start with you, Lisa. What do you think?
Amazon, in my opinion, should not even have picked up that book. You can buy everything on Amazon under the sun: books, exercise DVDs, self-improvement. Hell, you can even buy porn. But when you're talking about innocent children and how to seduce them and to having relations with adults, there is something that is clearly wrong, and I have a problem with it. Anything between two consenting adults is fine, but when you're talking about the debauchery and defilement of an innocent child, you have a problem with me, and I have a problem with you. Because these children are being victimized, and this shit that's going on is worldwide. These are groups that are preying on these innocent children. So you're putting out a book to try to put a nice twist on it, on how to fuck little boys and little girls? I don't fucking think so. I got a problem with that. They shouldn't even put that shit now, up there as far as I'm concerned.
Now, Lisa, here's a quote that he gave. Listen to this. I don't consider sex to be anywhere near as shameful and dirty as you all seem to. This was a comment he posted on Facebook. And as I don't mind children playing with themselves, why should I care if they choose to play with someone else? Now, if that's not a sick mind, I don't know what is, right?
Let me tell you something.
If you were head of Amazon, Lisa, you would not have picked up that book.
Let me tell you something. If you have been on the other side of the fucking fence and been preyed upon by somebody that has done that to you, then you'll know the pain and the tears that I'm shedding now and the anger that I feel. So that's all I can tell you. I can't, I'm sorry, Lady Taz, I'm sorry, Chris, I can't talk about this. I'm sorry, Lisa, I didn't know.
And while it's painful for you, I think it's important for people to hear your opinion. I gather that you yourself are a victim of this
they play on
project behavior.
They are master manipulators, and this person is putting out a book on how to pray. Children don't come here with the tools to know how to spot when somebody is trying to pray and terrorize them. You know, they're not even given a chance. So if somebody comes up with some shit like this, I mean, when I saw it on the news, it blew me away. I thought I had seen it all. But innocent children, like I said, I have a problem with that. Anything going on between two consenting adults is whatever they decide. But when you bring babies into this world and do shit like that to them, it's just, you know, what type of mind? A child can't even defend itself.
And that's a very good point, and I'll come back to you in a minute. Chris, what are your opinions on everything that you've heard?
Well, like you say, when it's something dealing with children, then, you know, it should definitely be a line drawn, because, like say, you know, something between adults is between adults, but children, especially little children, don't have the wherewithal to know, you know, what's really going on and stuff like that. But, me personally, I don't think I could have picked up something that deal with, you know, pedophile, rape, and, you know, things like that, but at the same time, like, you know, I was earlier, I don't like to sit there and try to dictate, you know, what someone can and cannot say. Because if I don't want to hear something somebody got to say, I usually change the channel, walk away, whatever, you know. You got to say, but I'm not going to listen to it, you know.
My question to you, Chris, is, but should anyone have the right to listen to this? Should anyone have the right to have access to this? Because while you won't listen to it and you won't pick up the book or buy it, right, there's thousands upon thousands and thousands of people out there who absolutely would be interested. I mean, I'm sure that's why it became one of the top 100 sellers. And should access to this kind of a book be permitted?
I really can't answer that question. I mean, if my heart says no, okay, but I try not to just use my emotions and not make decisions, okay? Now, my heart says no, okay, but on my mental level, like I say, I cannot sit there and judge and say, you know, you don't have the right to do this or you don't have the right to do that, okay?
But okay, hold on now. But isn't that what the law says, though? The law says you don't have the right to kill somebody. The law says you don't have the right to rape somebody. The law says you don't have the right to assault somebody. The law has all kinds of things that you're not allowed to do. So I guess my question is, you know, when does something cross the line from free speech to something that should be regulated, whether you want to call it censorship? I personally don't think it should be censorship. I think that there should be actual laws that would prevent something like this from ever being able to reach, be it the internet, and especially the internet now is more powerful than even your mainstream media. So I'm saying, yeah, we do have a right as a society to say, no, you don't have a right to do X, because we do it all the time through our criminal laws. Would you not agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, that's why a lot of laws I don't agree with. I mean, I really don't agree with a lot of laws. But, you know, like I said, that's not my say-so on whether, you know, because I didn't have the power to make or not make them laws. They were here before. Hell, most of them were here before I was born. You know,
well, laws are changing every day. New laws are being put on the books every day. I mean, you know, there's a city now in the U.S. somewhere that's trying to make it illegal to smoke outdoors. So, I mean, laws are being brought in every single day to, you know, take into account our new reality, I guess, would be the best way of putting it. So you're saying that if you were on a board to somehow do something about this or to make a law that would prevent books from being published that may either, you know, educate people on how to commit criminal acts or avoid criminal consequences, you would still stand on the side of freedom of speech?
No, I don't stand on the side of freedom of speech. I don't believe that we even have freedom of speech, okay? Well, what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't make a decision based solely on how I feel about it. I would actually have to read the material, see where it's going. You know, I mean, I couldn't just because the cover says this and the artist may just got out of jail for whatever, I still would have to read, because you might have somebody who wrote a book, you know, you know, what to look for when dealing with pedophiles. And most of the information he has in there, you know, even though he's trying to tell you how to watch out for pedophiles, the whole thing could help pedophiles know what you're looking for so they could change what they're doing. You know, so, I mean, I would still have to read it. I wouldn't just, you know, be like, okay, you know, everybody is against this book because such. You see what I'm saying? I would have to read it and not make a decision based on how I feel about it.
But I'm telling you that the people who have read it are saying that it's a how-to book. It's how to get to love children and be a pedophile and have relationships with children and how not to get caught. And it supposedly explains sort of the mindset of a pedophile. And you see in his response that he wrote on Facebook that, you know, his position is, kids can, as I don't mind children playing with themselves, why should I care if they choose to play with someone else? I don't consider sex to be anywhere near as shameful or dirty as you seem to. And that's basically the premise of his book. He's trying to make it okay to be a pedophile. He's saying there's
right.
really nothing wrong
and,
with
and,
it.
And if I read that in the book when I'm reading, then I would vote against that book. You see what I'm saying? But I'm not going to sit there and vote against it simply because of what everyone else says about the book. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And so presumably, So presumably, okay, so would you be in agreement for making a law that says you cannot write anything that would incite hate or whatever, or do you think that would be too broad?
I don't know if it would be too broad. I mean, it would be, like I said, it's perception because, like I say, you can write a book with one intention and it has another. You know what I'm saying? It might not, you know, you might not have wrote a book with the intent to, you know, incite hate. But people might read it, and that's what they get from.
And that's, you know, the slippery slope that you know, people talk about when they talk about, you know, the whole issue of freedom of speech. And just to give you a little bit of a more of a background on Amazon.com, it is currently accepting pre-orders for another book that promotes criminal activity. It's called I Am the Market: How to Smuggle Cocaine by the Ton in 5 Easy Lessons. In 2009, again because of an uproar, they stopped selling a video game called Rape Lay after it was criticized in the media. The game basically was where players stalked and then raped a mother and her daughters. And then in 2002, they put on their list a book called Understanding Loved Boys and Boy Lovers. And that book is still available on Amazon.
Well, what is that book about?
Well, the article I have doesn't really say, but it would seem to me that what it's saying is understanding loved boys and boy lovers. That, again, it's another one of those pedophile-type things, but it's homosexual in nature, older men having relationships with boys.
So I thought it was just...
That's what the title seems to say. Pardon?
I said, because to me, when you said it, just seemed like it was a book about homosexuals.
Well, that could be. I really can't comment. I don't have any information about it. I didn't have time to look it up. But, you know, what about the video game Rape Lay? In the game, players stalk and then rape a mother and her daughters, which is no longer available, but it was available in 2009. I mean, really? I mean, I think that at some point a line has to be drawn. A line has to be drawn, and there are just some things that, you know, you have to say, no, this is not allowed. If
right,
you want to disseminate
got,
it, pardon?
But then you got people who feel like, you know, the simplest of things should not be done either. You know what I'm saying? Now, they start voicing their opinions because, okay, let's say you like black guys, okay? Now, what if they bring that back in? Well, I think it should be a law that you can't date a black guy, you know, and they changed it because all of these people, you know, felt it was wrong. Wouldn't you have a problem with that?
Well, but dating a black guy is not a criminal activity. There's nothing criminal
right,
about dating.
Well, no,
there isn't anything criminal about dating someone.
I'm not talking about
whether
it's
a black guy, a Latino guy, or any other guy, huh?
What I'm talking about is, okay, you have the extreme things that majority of the people feel should not be out there, right? But you also have things that are not bad, that some person might deem bad because they feel it's bad. You see what I'm saying? Even though it's not. You know what I'm saying? But then they're going through all of these motions to get it where you can't do something that you do every day. You know what I'm saying? That's why freedom of speech is supposedly the meaning of, I'm going to say the meaning of freedom of speech. So like I say, you know, when it comes to the laws in America, I don't trust none of them. But the meaning of freedom of speech is because, you know, people, you know, try to decide that, you know, they don't like something, so you can't do it, you know. And like I say, yeah, you have your extremes and stuff like that, but most of it is people need to, you know, be like, you know, hey, that's fucked up. What the fuck is that out there for? You know, and try to avoid it. But you can't, you're not going to be able to stop everybody from, because even if you don't sell it on eBay or Amazon or wherever, you're still going to be able to sell it. It's still going to get out there, okay? It's going to get out there. It might even be more expensive because now it's illegal. But my whole point is, with the freedom of speech thing, I don't agree with the whole freedom of speech, you know, thing, because like I say, I don't really truly believe that we have it, okay? We don't have, I mean, a regulation. You got one group of people won't like this, another group won't like that, this was said, that was said, and, you know, it's all a perception of certain things.
Well, all right. Lisa, what, if anything, would you like to respond to Chris?
I would just have to say that they're I would have to say when there are things like this that are out and they foster a atmosphere of hate and brutalizing, victimizing people, then something has got to be done. By the and people will protest, clearly. Responsible thinking people have protested, and they have shown. We are not in agreement with what it is that you're promoting. We're not in agreement with what it is that you're selling. Get it off of there. And, you know, whoever's selling it, you know, they take it off. What type of control that can you have around those perimeters? It's almost impossible now, especially with the Internet, because if somebody has it and you want it, you can get it. But to be aware, for people to be aware that this is going on, to not be asleep, watch your children, be conscious of these type of people are around. And those people will know that, hey, you know what, there are some people that are not in agreement with what we're doing. I mean, beyond that, I mean, I think that's all that for right now, that's all that you can do, unfortunately. I mean, if I hear something on the radio, I don't like what I'm hearing, turn the damn channel. If I see something on television that I don't like seeing, like I saw this weekend, I turn the damn channel. Cut the TV off, better yet. But you have to have some type of rules, regulations, and guidelines, because you think responsible people in society. Unfortunately, again, where we're at, instead of evolving, some of us are devolving. And as my friend once said, just because it walks on two legs does not mean that it's human, unfortunately. And that's a scary thing.
And see, okay, and I'm going to weigh in on this, and I'm going to say that, in fact, you can do something about it. Being a pedophile or engaging in sex with underage children is against the law. And so I think it would be very easy to implement a law that says, any book that promotes, instructs on how to be a pedophile, it's against the law, and it will carry a criminal consequence. And, you know, I mean, obviously I can't fashion the piece of legislation here on the spot, but I believe that there's a way to make it tight enough and strong enough that it would catch situations like this, whether it be a piece of writing, whether it be, like, an example, the video game where you're committing rape. I mean, really? I mean, there have to be some limits. It's like we're out of control. We're absolutely out of control. It's like we sort of accept everything. And the bottom line is that the people who aren't pedophiles aren't going to be interested in this book. For sure not. The people that are going to be interested in it are the pedophiles, and they're hard enough to catch as it is. And the laws as it is aren't probably strict enough. I mean, they vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But, I mean, it is certainly something that I feel very strongly about. And so I believe that if something is already a criminal act, then I think that it can be legislated that this sort of thing isn't going to be allowed to be out there. And even if they, you know, put it out on the Internet and they don't use a hosting site and they open up their own site and they do it, all it takes is for one person to come across that site and to report it. There has to be something. And if it's not a criminal consequence, then it has to be some other consequence. Either the site gets shut down or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not going to be able to come up with the legislation in 5 minutes. But I believe that something can be done. And maybe part of the problem is that people believe that nothing can be done about these things. Maybe part of the problem is that everybody kind of raises their hands and says, oh, well, you know, that's today's society, and, I mean, you know, the Internet, and you can get whatever you want and one way or another, and there's really nothing that can be done. Maybe it's that hopelessness that is allowing this kind of crap to flourish and to be out there. I don't know. I mean, it's something to think about. Now, I'm going to take the flip. I'm going to take the flip side to something that Chris said, because Chris said, well, you know, I don't believe there is any freedom of speech. And there's a whole group of people that say, no, you know what? There isn't freedom of speech. And I'm going to give you an example. There's a group that I'm trying to see. I'm just looking at my notes here. The white nationalists, they tried to have a conference, and at the end of the day, they weren't able to have their conference. Now, it's not because somebody came along in authority and said, no, you can't do this, but it was as a result of public pressure on the venue where they were going to hold their conference. They weren't able to, you know, they were threatened by people. People phoned them and said, you know, if you allow this conference to take place, we're not going to do business with you anymore, et cetera, et cetera. And the head of this white nationalist group says that, you know, that the question really is, we supposedly have the right of freedom of speech and assembly. Those are rights given to us under the Constitution. But do they really apply if you have some sort of extreme views? Now, this group describes themselves as a racially dissident group. They don't think that racial diversity is a strength, but they believe that it's a source of tension and conflict. And they believe that they represent most white people, except that white people are so intimidated, according to this group, not according to me, that white people are so intimidated when it comes to being able to express themselves that they no longer tell their true views regarding race because they're shut down every time they try to talk. And so they consider themselves to be representatives of what the white people in general feel but are too scared to say. And they basically believe that every race should just stick to themselves. Whites should stick with themselves. Blacks should stick with themselves. They say that they support free, you know, in other words, if you want to have a black friend, well, then you're allowed to. I mean, they're not going to get on you about it. But basically, they sort of say, you know what, there is no freedom of speech. And it's proven by the fact that we weren't able to have our conference because of all these threats that came in from all these different groups and everything else, and nobody would allow us to have our conference at their hotel. And I think we just have Sean joining us just now, and I'd like to welcome Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to have to mute myself because I got to go on another run.
You've got to go on another run?
Yes.
All right, dear. Okay. Well, mute yourself. We've only got 10 minutes in the show. If you have a chance to answer questions, too, that would be great. If not, just mute yourself and listen to what's going on. So there you have it. So that's the other flip side, and I'm going to turn it to Chris first because, you know, Chris already alluded to the fact that he didn't believe there was a freedom of speech. So maybe you can comment on this particular issue, Chris, and then explain how you think there isn't freedom of speech.
Okay, well, I believe they should have had a little conference. I mean, you know, say what you got to say. I mean, most of the people already in there feel how you feel anyway, so what the fuck? You know, I mean, that's being honest with it. But as far as me and the freedom of speech thing, that's how I feel about most laws in America. I mean, they're put there so that, you know, a form of control, I guess, put away. You know, we don't really mean this, but if we need to use it against you, we will. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can do this, but, you know, and that's how I feel about the laws in the country, in America, period, you know. I mean, you know, you're probably the only lawyer in the world that I like, and that's because I never had to deal with you in a courtroom. But I don't trust lawyers. I don't trust judges. I don't trust anybody who sit there and try to make a law and dictate, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got the basics that need to be there, you know, don't kill, don't, you know, do all that shit, but I'm talking about, like, you know, laws that lift one group and tear down another, you know, that kind of stuff. And so,
in fairness, Chris, I'm a criminal defense lawyer, and predominantly my job, as I see it, and I'm not saying every criminal defense lawyer is going to say the same thing, is to balance those so-called scales of justice. So hopefully, you know, you would look at me as being a good guy, if I'm doing my job the right way.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. In America, they don't do their job the right way. And any lawyer that's listening, please don't be offended. I'm only speaking the truth. If you get a pro bono case, okay, and you're not getting paid, then you is technically, you being there with your little buddy that you going to have a drink with later on, and y'all be sitting there auctioning off people live, talking about give me 55 days, 3 years probation, 3 year probation, you know, like it's a damn auction or something. So you give me these three right here for go to jail, I give you these six on probation and deferred adjudication, you know, and stuff like that. They be in an auction. I mean, I sat there and watched it, you know, like, damn, they ain't even really discussing the case. They just picking up photos going, all right, we're going to do this. You know, I'm like, well, what the hell? And then they wonder why I wouldn't plead guilty. I ain't pleading guilty to nothing, pimp. So,
Well, in fairness, Chris, I myself hate to hear things like that. I know that there probably is things like that that go on. I certainly don't practice that way. I would never be party to anything like that. And I take on several pro bono cases all the time and have throughout my career. And I work just as hard on the pro bono cases as I do on the ones that pay, because there's people's lives at stake. But I do know that there's a lot of people that don't feel that way,
those are the ones. I mean, I'm talking about the whole system in general. I mean, you got a system where a prosecutor can receive evidence that will exonerate a guy from a crime, and they're, instead of, you know, going to the lawyer saying, hey, you know, we need to, you know, we got evidence that this person's actually innocent, they'll file a junction to get that where it can't be inadmissible in court, so that they can put the guy in jail, even though they know he didn't do the crime. Yeah, don't get with the law.
Yeah, and I understand that. Like I said, not everybody practices. You know, the almighty dollar corrupts, right? Unfortunately, I myself have a story. You know, when I first started practicing, I think I was out for, 4 or 5 years at that point. And I had had a case early on in my career, a very serious case, a young woman who had been sexually molested as a child. She then became, a drug addict. She started dealing drugs. I mean, she had a rap sheet as long as my arm. And I ended up representing her, and they were going to throw her in jail. I think she was looking at a 5-year sentence. I don't recall. 4 or 5-year sentence at that time. I got her into rehab. I did a whole bunch of things to try to help her to straighten out her life and this and that. And so when we finally ended up in front of the judge actually gave her probation for 3 years. And the judge said, I certainly hope that Miss Colby's, you know, trust in you is not misplaced, because if you come back into this courtroom, you will be doing the full 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. As it turns out, this young woman turned her life around. And about 3 years after this case, I received a card, a thank you card. And in the card, it was very touching. And in fact, it brought me to tears. She talked about how I had saved her life and so forth and so on. In any event, she was working full-time as a receptionist for a company, and she was in the process of getting married. And she was inviting me to her wedding. And I was just so incredibly, you know, proud of this. Like, to me, this was a success story. And so I took the card, and at the time I was sharing office space with a number of other criminal lawyers, and there was a bunch of us standing around, and I showed them the card, and they kind of passed it around and read it, and the one lawyer looked at me, and he says, "Are you proud of this?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Really? Because you shouldn't be." I said, "Why is that?" And he says, "Well, if you keep going this way, you're not going to have a practice in a few years." And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're not here to rehabilitate people. What you want repeat offenders. You want them to keep coming back to you. Otherwise, you're not going to have a practice." And I can't even begin to tell you how it made me feel. Like, I was just in complete shock that anybody would have that mindset or that view. In the event that that particular lawyer is listening, here I am, you know, 18 years in the making, and yes, I still have a practice. Wow, what do you know? So, yeah, I know.
I would definitely go to a lawyer who I hear always gets people off than I would, you know, one who only gives me a little probation here and there, you know.
Yeah, well, and so, like I said, there's different mentalities out there, but I think you're going to find that in all different groups of people. So what can I say? That's what it is. Lisa, any final comments? We've got 3 minutes. Anything you'd like to say?
I'm back.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, Lisa.
I think, you know. Hey. I think there just has to be some, definitely some laws enforced and some regulations and working on the technology to keep up with what is going on the Internet when these, you know, people pass this stuff along to one another and just educating.
Right.
I mean, what we're doing now, we're talking and we're educating people who listen to this and they're learning. They're learning about, you know, people's different views versus, you know, somebody teaching you and spewing hatred about somebody else. You've not even got a chance to get out to know who these other people are that you've been taught to hate.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, I mean, it's you know, like I said, I think that something can be done. I completely do not agree with a book that tells somebody how to be a pedophile. I don't think that, like I said, I think there have to be some sort of consequences to stop this kind of bullshit. I think anybody who is trying to teach people how to commit crimes and how to avoid the law, there has to be a consequence. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know how you draft the legislation. With 1 minute to go, what I'd like to say is next week's going to be a really interesting show. The title of the show is going to be No Means Yes, Yes Means Anal. And if you're wondering where that quote comes from, well, it comes from a university, from a frat house that chanted it outside a woman's shelter, I believe it was. In any event, what's going on college campuses? What is going on in the gender problem? There seems to be a lot of hate on various campuses against women's groups. Goes back to that whole discussion we were having about feminism. So there you go. That's going to be next week's show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Be sure to be here next week because it's going to be a really, really good show. I'd like to thank my guests for being with me, my panel for being with me. And, Sean, I'm glad you were at least able to be there for the last couple of minutes, even though, unfortunately, you didn't get a chance to say anything because we're out of time. But you know what, Sean? You can make up for it next week because I'm sure that you'll have a lot to say on that subject. Take
Most
care,
best.
Everybody. Good night. Wishing
Same
everybody
night.
The best.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.